Coming up next week, I cannot wait to pound Chuck Mingo into submission. He's going to be a piece of salami by the time I'm done with him. It's going to be amazing. It is going to be amazing, for sure. I can't wait. It's one of my favorite things every year. You know, we live in a very divisive society, but everyone celebrates the Super Bowl. At least most people do who don't even watch football all year long. So I'm excited to see that and excited for a good Super Bowl. Hey, we're talking about winning. We're closing off our series on winning today. And I know a lot of us haven't made New Year's resolutions and we're kind of going, man, it's kind of the end of January, maybe too late to make some. Hey, here's a new idea. It's actually the beginning of the Lunar New Year. That's right, the Lunar New Year. So if you've been inspired to win at something and set a new resolution, you can still do that. And I'm going to pray right now to get us ready for our very last section on this winning series. Let's pray before I say anything else. God, you are so patient with us. Some of us have been winning. Some of us feel like we're losing. All of us, though, we're in a place where we want you to do something for us. We're here today, God, right now, because we want more than what we have right now. I don't think we're here out of religious obligation. We're here because we want to understand you and understand our life more. I pray that you would help me make sense of those issues and that you'd help me to be clear and in line with your truth. And thank you, God, for the blessing it is to talk about some of these things. And I pray these things according to the character and identity of Jesus. Amen. So, big idea today is this. You can only win by being relationally connected. It's the only way you can win. Book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, we've looked at this series. It says, don't you know in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to win, to get the prize. We should all want to have the most impactful life possible. We should all want to do well in life. In every area of our life, we should want to win. And the big idea today is the only way that we can win, or there's a bunch of ways that go into winning. That's why we've had a four-part series, but today is, if we're not relationally connected, we cannot win. We need one another. I interact with folks who say, well, I'm kind of a lone wolf kind of person. And I say, well, you mean you're somebody who dies early and isn't as big and strong as you'd like to be? Because that's what a lone wolf is. Anybody who works with wolves, and I've learned this from somebody who works with wolves, says the lone wolf is smaller than all the other wolves because wolves need a pack to hunt elk or deer and pull them down. They're smaller and they die earlier than all other wolves. So wearing as a badge of courage, I'm kind of a lone wolf kind of person, is actually admitting that we're going to lose, that we're not going to be strong. The nation of Israel, as we've been looking at, is led by the person of Joshua, and he takes them over the Jordan River to the place that's the promised land, and they start winning victories to actually secure their promised land. Before they actually cross over the Jordan River, which didn't Chuck do an amazing week last week on it? He did a great week. That was a great, great talk on the Jordan River. Last good one he's gonna have, because the next week it's all going downhill, because he will lose next week. But nonetheless, right before they go cross over the Jordan River, the leader Joshua gives a pep talk. He gives a vision talk to all the nation of Israel. He tells them, be strong and courageous, because what's on the other side of that body of water is your future. Be ready to push yourself, he says. Be ready to do things you're uncomfortable with, because it's about time for us as a country to win, is in essence what he says. After he gives this pep talk, here's how the people mirror this back to him that he's relationally connected with. Joshua 1 verse 18, they say, whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him, shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. So as Joshua tells them to be strong and courageous, they said to him, hey dude, you be strong and courageous too. In fact, if someone isn't strong and isn't courageous, if somebody's bad-mouthing you, if somebody isn't on board with the mission, we got this one covered, Joshua. We will kill them dead right here. We got them. We will kill them. Man, now let me be real clear before we go any further. I'm very confident God's not asking anybody in here to kill anybody. I want to be really, really clear that. In fact, there may be very rebellious people at Crossroads who don't like things I say. Let me save their life right now. Do not kill them. Do not do that for anybody. God is not asking anybody in here to kill anybody. I'm very confident of that. But what I really like about this, in this moment of sort of redemptive history, is that like we see an element of team, an element of relational connectedness. And that is, your problem is my problem. The thing that's bothering you, it bothers me, and therefore I'm gonna fix it. We have a staff here at Crossroads, and we participate in the staff survey, and a bunch of other organizations do as well. And we're benchmarking ourselves against them and learning from them, and maybe them learning from us as well. And most years we do really, really well. We get recognized in the local papers, kind of being in the top four organizations our size, or the top three or something like that. But some years we don't do really well. And oftentimes when we're not doing well, it's because there's a lot of this. Well, that leader up there, well, this person down here, they're kind of pointing around. Those people need to fix that thing, and they need to just, whenever there's doing a lot of this, there's never a lot of this. There's never a lot of relational connection. There's just that pointing thing. And what I'll say to staff, if we have one of those years that's bad, I'll say, hey, look, I'm looking to see who it is that's going to fix the problem. Where's the mighty men and women that want to do something about this? Because no more points for pointing out problems. Only points for solving problems. Only points for being the person that sees something and gets it done and fixes it. This is the beautiful thing about where nation of Israel is right now in this era, is they're saying, hey, we're all in this together. And Joshua's problem is my problem. My problem is Joshua's problem. This is incredibly foreign to us. In our world today, we are in an increasingly individualistic and isolated culture. And the more individualistic we become, and the more isolated we become, the less we can be in tune with God, and the less we can win. Person after person in the Bible is connected with the team, starting with God himself. He's known as the triune God, God in one in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's connected in one. We see God creates not a person, but a people. He, Adam and Eve, to be relationally connected. And I'd love to go into deep details on all of these things right now. I just can't. Just giving you the overview. Noah and his family builds an ark. They've got a mission. They've got a point they're doing. The person Abraham, him and his household and people who are connected with him, they start and are the beginning of the nation of Israel. We have Jesus and the 12 disciples. We got Paul and Silas and Barnabas and a whole book in the Bible called the Book of Acts, which is the acts of all these people who are relationally connected. Every person that does heroic things in the Bible is connected, has made the choice to be on a team with somebody else. And here we are today in 2020 America, and the first big idea I want us to understand is that if you want to be relationally connected, you're gonna have to make a countercultural choice. If you want to have a sense of belonging and oneness with other people and be on a team, you're going to have to make choices that are counter to the way our culture is going, because everything in our culture is splitting us apart. Everything in our culture is causing us to be lonely. We are arguably the loneliest generation in the history of America, maybe in the history of the world. All ancient cultures were communal cultures. This thing that Joshua says and the people saying, hey, we'll kill people that come against you, that's an ancient communal thing that says it's a we thing, whereas our culture is a me thing. And everything about our culture is about exalting me and not thinking about something else. Everything that's happening in culture and happening in media and happening in technology, it's all fraying us. Technology never brings us together. It only frays us. And that's coming after we thought that social media would bring us together. We now know that social media divides us more than it brings us together. Yes, it's nice to be able to be in touch with the people we graduate in high school with, and there's some positive things there. And by the way, I'm very pro-media, very, very pro-technology. I also just have to understand the pull of that is to cause me to be isolated from you and from my neighbors. Let's go back in the history of America and let's just talk about where we've come as a culture and where we're going as a culture right now. There was a day where it was virtually impossible for you to have any entertainment at all in your house. We had an agrarian culture. Americans had their own gardens or their own crops. And they would go and they would work it as a team, as a community. And they would come in the house and they would play checkers with somebody else. Or the only way to be isolated and have entertainment was to actually read a book. But we were actually together with one another all the time. And then a new piece of technology came along to give us entertainment. It was the radio. And what did we all do? We all like sat around the radio and looked at it as one community. Now, I wasn't around back then because I'm getting older and longer in tooth. I wasn't around back then, but I've seen these pictures. That's what we did. We were with one another, listening, because we were always relationally connected. And then the TV comes along. Yeah, I remember when the TV comes along. It's wonderful. At least the color TV. I was around when the color TV became available. And that's actually a picture of an old television. In case you're, what is that up there? Yeah, that was original television. We actually had one like that in my basement that was black and white. And then we had a color TV that my parents bought. It was 19-inch RCA, 19 inches. We thought we were like rich. Now it's basically the size of an iPad, right? And this is back in the days when you, it was a chore. You used to burn calories watching TV because you had to get up and go like this. And then you have to go back down and sit down. And it didn't actually matter that you had to get up and change the stations because you only had like three or four options. But everybody would sit around the TV and watch it. And you would have shows that Hollywood and everybody else had to figure, what kind of show can we get that everybody can be together and watch? I remember my parents were like not up for it all for me being on the old black and white TV downstairs and them being upstairs. Like, why can't I be in the black and white watching The Lone Ranger and you upstairs watching Lawrence Welk? No, it wasn't gonna work. Like it was anathema to them. That means they didn't like it. To have two parts of the family in different rooms having some entertainment because we're supposed to be together doing this in one place. And then, of course, we get to multiple streaming platforms that we have right now, not just in different rooms. Shoot, we're in the same room streaming different things on different devices. And we have, as a result, we have fewer cultural touch points. So we used to have water cooler talk. Like people would go to a water cooler and they would talk. Now we all bring our own individual waters because my Fiji water is better than the water cooler at work. And not only that, when we go to the water cooler at work, we're not even sure what to talk about anymore. We used to go to the water cooler at work. We'd go, hey, did you see the Office episode last night? I did. You would watch The Office just so you had something to talk with people about. Now we can't even tell people we're watching. Like, how far are you? Oh, I'm at the park. Oh, I can't. Don't tell me more. Don't tell me more. So we can't even talk about the things we're watching anymore. Because we're all individually isolated, binging it for ourselves, and it's not communal anymore. By the way, I like binging. I'm pro-binging. I'm pro-technology. I'm not anti any of the things I've said. All I'm trying to do is help us understand that if you want to be relationally connected, you're going to have to stand against the cultural tide that's dividing us. Friends, there's a reason why suicide is on the increase and going up. It's because we're isolated and lonely. Every person in here, every person streaming right now, I know you know somebody who killed themselves not too long ago, and it's awful. However long ago it was awful. And there was a day growing up when I didn't know anybody or knew anybody who knew anybody who had committed suicide. Not the way it is anymore. We weren't diagnosing people with mental illnesses decades ago because we didn't know, so people weren't getting diagnosed. There's a rise in mental illnesses because now we're appropriately diagnosing, and there's also some people who are acting out in a mentally ill way, not because of brain chemistry, but because of loneliness. Because when we're not connected with other people, talking with other people, the worst of ourselves comes out. Dark parts of our life come out. This is not good for us. And all I'm trying to do is help us be aware of what's happening in culture, how it's dividing us, and just go, be careful. And I'll go in another area here. Pornography. Why is pornography so destructive? It's not just because Jesus says we shouldn't lust after somebody in our mind that we're not married to. That is wrong. It's also because pornography trains us to be selfish lovers. It actually equips us to have sex with ourselves without any other human being, and actually for the younger generation of Americans is disincentivizing young males from actually asking women out. This is a real thing. You can go to any sociology class in any major university in the land, and they'll spend a good 2 weeks talking about the changes in sexuality and how our technological advances are creating machines and sex bots for ourselves, to the point where it's going to come at 2050, more human beings are going to be having sex with their own personalized, computerized doll thing equipment than actually being with a real person. That's the estimates. Because we're becoming more and more isolated and more inwardly drawn and more depressed and more defeated because we're not meant to be that way. And I'm telling you right now, I don't care of all the things I've just mentioned. I don't care how many of you are doing right now, how many of you have done in the past. It's not about that. It's about saying where you are right now. Do you want to win? And if you want to win, you're going to have to get to a different place relationally, to get different attitudes, different practices, to be with real live flesh and blood people, to talk to real live flesh and blood people, to laugh, to maybe even kiss a real live flesh and blood person. There's something about us. We need people. We need to be relationally connected. It's spiritually hardwired into our DNA by God. And when we don't have those relational ties, our life simply doesn't work. Now, the nation of Israel, they get over the river as a team, the Jordan River as a team. They then go and they have their first, which Chuck talked about last week. Then they then go and have their first battle as a team against Jericho. We talked about that as a team. And God tells them, you're to destroy the city and you're to destroy everything that's in it. You're not to not to keep the fine gold things and silver things. God says, those are mine. Bring them to me. And they're going to be part of the future tabernacle or temple and all the sort of holy accessories in there that they're going to be melted down. And they do this. They have these accomplishments. And they go into their next battle, against Ai, also known as the Amalekites, in this, who are represented in this city. And they're on a roll and they lose. They lose. So we're going to pick up this story. Joshua chapter 7, verse 5 to 7 says this. And the hearts of the people melted and became as water. That means the people felt like losers. That's what that means. And then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening, he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. This is the pain of losing. It should cause us pain when we lose in anything. I don't care if I'm playing a grandchild in Candyland. I want to win. I won't cheat to win, but if I lose, I don't like it. Vince Lombardi said, show me a good loser and I'll show you a loser. This is what's happened with Joshua and the rest of the people. They're used to winning here. They're like, they're crossing Red Seas and God's doing miracles and they're crossing new, they've walled, and all of a sudden they lose and they don't like it at all. And I hope you never like losing, whatever it is. I hope you never like not being able to close a sale. I hope you never like not fulfilling a resolution that you made versus going, oh, well, I didn't make it, whatever. I hope you never like losing when somebody around you is hurt because of your words. I hope you never, ever, ever get okay with not doing well. Joshua is not. And it says this, and Joshua said, alas, O Lord, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all? To give us into the hands of the Amorites or to destroy us? Would that we had been content to dwell beyond the Jordan. He's feeling so bad about his loss. He's saying, man, maybe we shouldn't have crossed that river at all. It was great having a victory at Jericho, but man, this loss is hurting so much. Maybe we should have just stayed there. Verse 10, and the Lord said to Joshua, get up, you weenie boy. That's actually what it says in the original Hebrew. It says, weenie boy, weenius boyus, I think is what it says. The Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why have you fallen on your face? Israel has sinned. They have transgressed my covenant that I commanded them. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen and lied and put them among their own belongings. I will be with you no more unless you destroy the devoted things from among you. So Joshua, there's a reason. Okay, there's a reason why we're losing here. the very clear instructions God had given to them, someone or some ones chose to ignore those instructions and to steal and take what was God's and to bury it inside of their own tent. And so what God tells Joshua to do and what he does, he picks one of the tribes and he just calls, he goes, the tribe of Judah. And all the tribe of Judah, gets all the nation of Israel, the tribe of Judah, they all stand forward. And he says, all right, I want the clan of such and such. So a smaller unit inside of that tribe. And those people stand. Okay, and then of the family of this, he gets this family, and that little family gets out. And then the guy inside that family, is there an Achan in the family? And Achan steps out. Now it's interesting. Is God supernaturally inspiring Joshua to kind of funnel things down like this, boom, 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 boom? Or is it there's somebody in every tribe, there's somebody in every family that has stolen the consecrated things? And so maybe he's just going, it's just Russian roulette. It doesn't matter who. There's going to be somebody from every tribe and every clan and every family. So he just calls them out and he's using them as an example. We don't know, but it's interesting to surmise. But nonetheless, all of Israel is standing there and there's Achan who's right there, and he's caught red-handed. So it says in verse 19, then Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and give praise to him, and tell me now what you've done. Do not hide it from me. He says, I did it. I got some stuff. It's buried underneath the carpet of my tent. They go and they check out his tent. They pick up the carpet. They bury it. Sure enough, there's all the stuff. Joshua 7, verse 25. And Joshua said, why did you bring this trouble on us? The Lord brings trouble on you today. And all of Israel stoned him with stones. The reason why the nation of Israel has lost, because they are all relationally connected, and somebody inside of the team violated one of God's principles, and then they all lost. All of them lost. And as a result, Achan gets stoned. This isn't the feel-good kind of stone that we have today. This is old school stoning. Hard objects hitting you and killing you. This is critical. Understand. You need to understand. The day that I do something that is really outside of God's bounds, who gets hurt by that? All of y'all. All of y'all. In fact, all of us all are hurting one another all the time when we're doing something outside of what is winning before God. And our isolated, individualistic culture does not see this, because in our culture, it's all, well, me. It's just me and whatever I'm doing. It's all about me and me and me, me, me. No, we're all connected here. We all affect one another. And to deny our relational connection is to deny the effects of our sin on one another and also the effects of our victories on one another. This is what's happening in this nation of Israel. As soon as they deal with Achan and he gets stoned, they start winning again. Now, I know, again, here we are. We have a hard time with this because we're so enlightened in America. We're so enlightened, like, oh, how can the God of the Bible endure stoning? I'll let God speak for himself on this. This is just what happened generations ago. And in an ancient communal culture, this is not a big deal. This is only a big deal in our hyper-insulated, individualistic, narcissistic culture where we don't want to take leadership from anybody and we don't want to slot ourselves under God at all. I am God. We don't say that, but that's exactly how we act. Only in our cultural context do we have these doubts of, well, why would this happen? We have problems with this because we don't know what it's like to be relationally connected. We don't know what it's like to do something for the good of the community. We don't know what it's like to be held accountable because somebody else is hurting because we did wrong. And again, God's not asking you to stone anybody, nor for you to get stoned. And either way you want to look at that, he's not. I'm just saying the reason we struggle with this is because we are spiritually losing because we don't understand relational connectedness. Do you know who's on your team? The second big idea, identify who is on your team. The nation of Israel knew what tribe they're a part of, what family they're a part of, what nation they're a part of. Do you know who is your team? I don't mean just broadly, I'm an American, but who is your team? Who is it that calls you when they're struggling? Who do you call when you're struggling? Who calls you to celebrate when they had a pay increase? Who do you call to celebrate? And who do you call to brag on yourself that you got a pay increase? Who's on your team? Who is it that you're sweating with? Who is it that you're laughing with? Who is it that you're weeping with? Who is it you're hugging with? Who is that? Do you know who your team is? Most of us don't know teams. The only thing we know about teams is what we remember from sports or from the thespian club we were part of in high school or some such thing. Those things are wonderful. Those things are wonderful. But those are teams that start and end and have not that great of a trophy to endure, but the relationships we have, that is a trophy that will endure for a long time. I'm inspired by sports because there's so much in sports that relates to what I understand about life. Recently, Jimmy Johnson, who was the coach for the Dallas Cowboys when they won 2 Super Bowls and is also a commentator that's very, very well respected. Recently, he got surprised while he was doing his commentating by somebody from the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Here it is.
As we welcome you to the Visa Halftime, we've got a full house here on the football field, but there's always room for one surprise guest, especially when it's this man coming in right now. From the Pro Football Hall of Fame, David Baker, the president.
Good to see you, Kurt.
How are you?
Mr. Good to see you.
Baker, how are you doing, sir?
Good. Hall of Famer.
Great to see you.
Hall of Famer.
Let the man go.
Hall of Famer. Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Coach, on behalf of the Pro Football Hall of Fame and all those fans that are watching and all of us who love this game,
can you do this?
Thank you, Coach, for all you've done for the game. Thank you for all you're going to do for the game. Thank you for the history that you've made and the lives that you've impacted. Thank you. It's my great honor to tell you that you're going to be the 328th Hall of Famer into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And your legacy is going to be in Canton, Ohio forever. Congratulations, Coach. Congratulations.
Hey, Bugs. Oh, my God. That is awesome.
I think watching in green. Jimmy overcame the emotion right now. But man. Tell us what you're doing.
The only thing I can think of is all the assistant coaches that have worked for me. All the great players that have played for me, they're the reason I'm here. And they're the reason I can't talk.
All right.
No.
Where's your Bob?
This is so special to me. Because when you put in the work that we put in, it's nice to know people appreciate it.
Cool stuff. That was they kept going to Troy Aikman, the one who was his quarterback with them when they won Super Bowls. That's the guy with the who was kind of getting teary as well up in the booth. And notice what he did there. He all he could do was name all the people he was on the team with, assistant coaches, players. Because winners are always relationally connected. And they know it's not because of their own efforts. It's a team thing. I'm on a number of different teams. One team I'm on includes a guy who has his own business, and he came into a bit of a pickle. Unexpected things happened financially; couldn't meet payroll, and I've been just kind of trying to encourage him and walk him through that. And he said I could share our recent text over because I thought this is exactly a way to be a good teammate. Here's what I said to him. I said, hey, how are things with you in the business? He says, oh, much, much better. I trimmed down the team. I paid back my parents. He had to get a loan from his parents to meet payroll. We're in a great spot. I can't thank you enough for being there and praying for me. I said, that's so encouraging. Thankful that you can breathe. Goes on and says this, amen. All of this had to happen to set us up for success. It sucked going through it, and previously I would have kept it all inside and tried to do it all alone. But this was different, taking it one day at a time and opening up. I feel so free now. Love you, brother, and can't wait to see you. What's he saying? I would have just done this on my own before, and he would have lost before, but he's come to a place spiritually where he's willing to open up and let people in and share some difficulties, and he's getting the benefit of that. This is the way it works, friends. I'm telling you, this is how we win. We win by letting people into our life. We win by getting into somebody's life And we do that not just because we want to be relational, but we want to get stuff done that we couldn't get done if we were on our own. This is the third and biggest idea today, last idea. We need to work towards a team goal, not the goal of just being relational, though that's a good goal. But for many of us, we want to be with people where, well, what is the point? Where are we going? Amazon Prime, Sunday, June 26th, as in now, we're streaming Phantom Lake, Quest for Phantom Lake, and we're excited about how this is looking, and it's all about a group of people going for a goal of getting someplace they couldn't go, and for sure they wouldn't go on their own. This is the last short little snippet we'll show of what's about to stream on Amazon Prime, and it's all is this team gets ready to cross the Jordan River of sorts, to cross an obstacle that is just before the final ascent to Phantom Lake.
All right, I'm gonna go over first. Hopefully I have no problems getting over. This is about controlled speed, just like keep the throttle on, and you're every time your tires come on one of those big rocks, it's going to slide off to left and right. Just be ready for that. Just keep your throttle on. Just tractor on through it. Your suspensions are great. You'll be fine. If you can convince yourself that you will be fine and to keep momentum, then you'll be fine. If not, your bike goes down the water, big freaking deal. You go down the water, big freaking deal. It's the softest landing you can have. There's no reason you should have any fear here. All right, I'll go first.
Dave, remember, and anybody else that remember, you know, that speed, as soon as you hit that water, it's deep enough, you're going to slow down. So, you know, you probably want to go a little faster than you think, because you slow down, like, really fast. You all right, Dave?
Yep.
Okay.
It's on my foot, but I'm good.
All right. Good approach. You know, you did that right. It just, sometimes you get a bad rock.
Yep.
So it's gonna be tough.
Yeah.
Keep that head up, Chuck. Keep that head up. Keep your eyes up, not down. Keep them up. Chuck Bingo is conservative.
Come on, yes!
Oh, oh my gosh. Oh man. Who said Chuck Bingo is conservative? Who said you're conservative? Oh my gosh. Dude.
Yes!
Oh man. You freaking crushed that thing. You crushed that thing. My word.
Fuck.
Way to go.
And wait till you see what happens next. There was an amazing sense of team there because people knew this is where we're going. This is why we are doing what we're doing. And this is where the nation of Israel had broken down. I mean, some of them were at least taken, like got messed up on the goal. The goal is to get the promised land and honor God in the midst. The goal isn't to get whatever I can get for myself. And whenever you have somebody on a team that gets fuzzy on the mission, you have a team that's going to be destroyed. You have people that are not going to be thriving spiritually. Here at Crossroads, we're a team. And what's the goal? What is it we're going after? We connect seekers to a community of growing Christ followers who are changing the world. That's what we do. We connect seekers to a community of growing Christ followers who are changing the world. And I like when I do my thing here well and people are encouraging to me. That's awesome. But to be really clear, that's not winning. I like when we have a lot of people in our buildings, and I hope that we have more people at Super Bowl than we ever have before. To be clear, having a lot of people there for Super Bowl is not winning. It could be. It's not winning. What is winning? When we get people who are disconnected with God, connecting with people who are growing with Christ, growing with Christ. And together as a team, we're changing the world. That and only that is winning. Not good sermons, not high attendance numbers. It's that, that's what's winning. So I'm so excited about what we're able to do in Puerto Rico. We've sent $50,000 down. You know, there's a 6.3 Richter scale earthquake that happened there, 6.4% rather, and 2,300 homes eliminated. We sent down a big check of $50,000 to our partners to start working, and our Masters of Disaster team that's been trained is going to build that. And that sounds like, well, that's not a lot of money. That's not a lot of people. It's going to make a huge, huge difference. And I'll tell you what, you could take our slice of Crossroads, the number of people we have, and those statistics, and put that slice for anybody who shows up at a Bengals game, for anybody who shows up at all the movie theaters, and those numbers will far outpace any other segment of society because it's something we're trying to win in. It's something we're trying to go after. We're not content to simply play church and have nice music and have interesting sermons. No, that's not winning. That's good. Rather have that than awful music and uninteresting sermons. But that's not what winning is. That's not what getting to the place where God wants us. We can never be okay with losing in areas. And to be clear, there's things that's going on at Crossroads where we're losing in. And what are we losing in? It's always dependent on how that sub-team is doing in those areas. And we always want to come against that. And we want to help people because that always represents people who aren't being helped and people who are hurting. Last little verse. By the way, Phantom Lake is starting to stream. I got to tell you this. Please, I'm going to ask you a favor. Watch it. Watch it. Watch the whole thing. Even if you watch the first 5 minutes and you think it's awful, just go read a book and keep it going. Because the algorithm of Amazon Prime looks to see how many people have started it and how many people have finished it. And then it will bump up into people's feeds so people can discover it. Right now, no one's going to discover it. You're going to have to search for it and then you can discover it. But the more of us that do that, the more people can see it and be blessed and be helped spiritually. That's why that's there. The win is to help people spiritually who are never going to be inside of a church. The very last verse I'm going to look at that's the very end of the book of Joshua. There's been a lot of intense things that have happened. I wish this series was 10 weeks long. But here's sort of the culminating button on the entire book. It comes from Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. And Joshua says this, "And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord," meaning like you don't want to do that. That's awful for you. "If it's evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, well, then choose this day who you will serve. Whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river, like the Egyptian gods way back then, or the gods of the Amorites in the land in which you dwell." So God says, "Hey, you don't want to serve the God I'm going to serve? But you're going to serve one of them." And he says this, "But as for me and my house, me and my team will serve the Lord." I'll tell you what, you are going to serve somebody, friends. You're going to. Every single person serves somebody, something, some entity. Every single one of us has our heart given over to something. And that thing is either going to help you win or you're going to lose. I'm just telling you right now as your pastor, if that thing isn't God, you will lose. You will utterly lose. The right God, the ultimate God, Jesus himself, you will lose. It's only a matter of time because God has created you to be in relationship with him. And he wants you to be in relationship with others. That is winning. Let me pray for you. God, I ask that you would help us to internalize these things, not just internalize them, but externalize them, to get outside of ourselves, to do these things, to be connected, and to serve you with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our strength. God, thank you for enabling us to win and giving us instruction to bring that to pass. I pray these things according to the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, hey, have a fantastic weekend. We'll see you next week for Super Bowl.